Good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Come on in here. We're getting ready for Bible study. Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And we're ready for you to join us for Monday Manna Bible Study.
All right. That was a tongue twister almost there, wasn't it, Lady Kim?
It was.
You got to practice that.
Say it three times. That's right. Spin around.
You got to spin around twice now when you say it so that you can fall in proper order once it comes out. Let me see you try it again.
Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church.
That doesn't count right there. But we're excited about this day, and we hope you are too. And we do praise God for each of you as you are coming on. Let us know that the sound is clear and that you can hear us, and hopefully you can see us as we prepare for this time together tonight. The 49th chapter of Genesis, there are only two chapters left, and this has been an exciting study. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Yes, it has been.
Have you enjoyed this study in Genesis?
I have. I really have.
Okay. And next week, we're going to try to close it out. We don't have two chapters, including this one tonight. So we might be able to close it out tonight and do maybe a little review or something next week. Okay. That's going to be a holiday, but we're not going to take a break. We're going to hope that you tune in and still get this blessing that God has for you as a result of hearing the word. Isn't that right?
That's right.
For the Bible says that our faith cometh by what?
Hearing, and hearing by the word of
hearing
God.
Hearing by the word of God. So that's something that has to continue to happen. It just doesn't happen once, but it has to be a process that continues to happen. Wouldn't you agree with me on that? All right. Well, some are joining. Let us know that the sound is clear, that you can see and hear us okay, and we welcome you tonight. What is today's date?
May the 24th.
Before long, May will be gone.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Next week, it'll be out of here.
The 31st. Is it 31 days in
there
May?
There are 31 days in
okay,
May.
Okay, okay. And Memorial Day is Monday. Is that right?
That's right.
And that's the 31st.
That's the 31st.
We go back to church on the 30th.
Yeah.
So that Monday will be the 31st. How's the sound? Let us know y'all can hear us. Let us know as we prepare to start for tonight. Someone just type in, it's good, it's bad. We can't hear you. We don't know what's going on. Just give us some kind of heads up in terms of the sound. Then we're going to go ahead and move forward. We're waiting on one person to tell us that they can hear.
That sounds good.
Dr.
Quali Seymour.
Was that the doctor?
The doctor, the right Reverend Dr. Quali Seymour.
What are you going to call her, Reverend? You're going to call her Dr. Q. All right. She's in the building tonight, and so we praise God for her. Well, let's prepare to get started tonight. We're not going to go the whole length, Lady Kim. I just kind of envision us just maybe taking on part of this, finish this 49th chapter, and then see what we can do with the 50th, and then use that as a platform to just kind of springboard us into our review on next week.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you. We thank you for your spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God all by yourself.
Yes.
We know you as a healer and a deliverer, and we know that all power is within your hands. And there's absolutely nothing too hard for you.
Nothing.
And so, God, we decree tonight that we shall be whole and we shall be set free, and that no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. We pray for each person on this virtual study tonight. We pray that needs will be met,
yes.
Ways will be made,
yes.
And prayers will be heard,
yes.
And our faith will increase. As a result of spending this time together.
Yes.
So we love you tonight. Just now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
It is so.
And it is so.
All right. Yesterday was a very important day in the life of the church.
Was
I
it?
Tell you, yes it was.
Yes it was.
And all across the land and country, people were experiencing, I believe, a Pentecostal experience throughout the land and country. And there are several special days that we ought to get excited about as believers, and Pentecost is one of those Sundays.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about what happened and just give us a little update on what was your experience yesterday.
Well, Pentecost Sunday is you know, really the what marks the birth of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Pentecost comes, well, I don't want to get it wrong. I should have looked it up before I started Bible study. Is it 49 days after the resurrection of Jesus?
Right. It earmarks that 50th
it
day.
It earmarks the 50th day. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was resurrected. And so it also marks when the people who were gathered in that upper room where Jesus told them to wait for the promise.
Right.
Where they received the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And the Bible says in Acts the 2nd chapter that tongues, it looked like tongues of fire that sat upon each of them, and they began to speak in other tongues. A tongue or a language that was not their native language. And so the Holy Spirit came into the lives of those people in that upper room. And so yesterday you preached from the topic, Lord, do it again.
Lord, do it again.
Lord, do it again, from Acts the 2nd chapter and the first 4 verses, when it talked about when the day of Pentecost had fully come.
Mm-hmm.
That meant the day in which Jesus was resurrected, ascended back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of his Father. It says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one room on one accord. And I think that's the importance for a Pentecostal experience to happen. I've been in a church services before where the Holy Spirit came in.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mighty rushing wind. And I think it did that because we were all on one accord. One accord means that all minds were on Christ. Everybody was praying. Everybody's focus was directed heavenward. And we were all thinking and concentrating on God and the presence of God. And because of that, the Holy Spirit came in a mighty and a powerful way. You know, and so you had 3 points that Lord, on your topic, Lord, do it again, that God empowers his church for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because after those disciples received the Holy Spirit, they were able to go out and do ministry among the people. And when the church is empowered, ministry is never the same.
Okay.
So, yes, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, again, we can go out and do wonderful things. And your third point was, when God speaks, it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass. That's powerful because, you know, you made reference to the disciples and their waiting. And also, as I tried to indicate that, there is a prelude to Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we have to do in order to have that Pentecostal experience.
Mm-hmm.
We yearn and we read about what happened in that upper room, but the same experience that they experienced, we too can experience that, but they had to wait for the promise. They had to be on one accord. They had to know that God's promises were sure and that he was going to do exactly what he said he would do. And I think all too often we get caught up in the wrong things and we end up missing that unity that you talked about, Lady
mm-hmm.
Kim. And many times God is ready to show up, but the people have a mind to keep things divided and confused, and they allow the enemy to play tricks on them. And it stifles, it hinders the move of God and the Pentecostal experience that God wants us to experience on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just pray that God will do it again, just like he did in that upper room,
mm-hmm.
that he will do it again. Because these disciples, and it's key, and I should have indicated some of this, they were wrapped up in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be wrapped up in the moment. When we gather, we shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't take it for granted. But we should be wrapped up in the moment, anticipating a mighty move of God, and allow the method and the message to really do what God would have for it mm-hmm. to do.
And sometimes, you know, it's not intentional, mm-hmm. you know, that we come to service not focused.
Right.
You know, a lot of things happen on the way to church. You know, the enemy gets busy on before we even get there. You know, the kids fighting in the car. You know, your mom calling on the phone telling you, you know, she needs something, needs you to pick up something from the store. Just to, you know, anything the enemy can use to get you off focus. You wake up and you say you don't have anything to wear, and just little simple things can knock you off focus. But I dare you to come in when no matter what goes on before you get to church. I dare you, when you hit those doors, to turn off everything, all those negative things, all the things that tried to hinder you prior to getting there. Focusing your mind on Jesus. Coming into the house of worship ready to give God praise. And thinking about nothing but God. Nothing but Jesus. Just Jesus. Jesus.
All right.
Think about just Jesus when you get into that sanctuary. Don't even let a frowning usher knock you off course.
I have never seen our Urshas frown at anybody.
I don't watch them that closely.
But
either,
I doubt but. Seriously if they frowned at somebody. And we getting ready to come back this Sunday.
Yes,
and I know it's gonna be all kinds of smiles,
all
even behind
faces.
The mask, right?
Right, that's right.
Right. That's right.
So that's one good thing. You can't see a frown behind it, but you know the eyes tell a lot too.
That's right.
The eyes tell a lot. But anyway, you know, don't let the enemy knock you off focus or keep you off focus. Focus on God, because when we come into the house of worship on one accord, something is bound to happen. Something powerful is bound to happen. And I like what you said on yesterday, that we were pardoned at Calvary, but we receive power at Pentecost. And once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit and gives us that power. Now, what we do with that power is left up to us.
That's right. That's right. That's good, Lady Kim. So, Calvary, pardon, Pentecost, power. Come on, get that in your spirit, because we can't just allow this to be a one-time experience. This has to be an everlasting experience. And once we have allowed God to empower us to do ministry, we will never be the same. And once we follow the mandate that God has established and set for us, things will take off and people will look at us as if we're drunk and that we don't know what we're talking about, but we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
The sweet Holy Spirit.
All right. So Amen. Preparation goes before the blessing, and we have to make sure now that we align ourselves with what God would have for us
mm-hmm.
so that we can receive everything that he has in store for us.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on
Amen.
That?
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're moving into the 49th chapter of Genesis 49. Genesis 49. I believe you just kind of introduced that last week as we were closing out. And so what is basically happening here in this 49th chapter, Lady Kim?
Well, you know, it's all a continuation. Mm-hmm. Each week that we've studied Genesis, it's a continuation of what happened in the previous chapter. And we know that when we ended the 48th chapter, we ended with Jacob meeting his grandsons,
right.
Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Okay.
And he presents his sons to their grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and their grandfather pronounces a blessing. But then when he pronounces his blessing, we see the double cross.
A double cross.
not in the bad way, okay. The double cross. You know, when you think of double crossing somebody, you think of doing somebody wrong. But Jacob crossed his hands when he pronounced the blessing. And that had happened before. You know.
So what do you mean he crossed his hands? Somebody doesn't know what you're talking about, because what do you mean he crossed his hands? What is that represent?
Well, when the right hand was extended towards the older son, the oldest child always, you know, well, usually got the blessing.
Okay.
And the blessing was, you know, they spoke over a blessing over that eldest, and the eldest also got double portion.
Double, all right.
Got a double portion of the inheritance, and the others just got a portion, but the eldest got the double portion.
Everybody was blessed, though. Right?
Everybody was blessed.
Okay.
Everybody was always blessed, but it was always understood that the oldest would receive a blessing
first and
the double portion, the firstborn.
And so when he did the crossover, what happened?
Well, he crossed his hands, and instead of giving the right hand and the blessing to the eldest, which was Ephraim, then he gave it to the other son.
Manasseh.
Yes. And so Joseph tried to uncross his dad's hands so that he could put his hands on the eldest son. And Jacob said, no, I know what I'm doing on this.
Right.
And this is how I want it to be.
He was feeble and his sight was dim. His eyes were going. His eyesight was leaving him. Mm-hmm. But he understood clearly, particularly because God had spoke to him. And when he pronounced the blessing on the younger son, he knew exactly what he was doing. But tradition would have it, like you said, that the blessing of the right hand, and there's something powerful there to be said about the blessing of the right hand, and how when he laid his hand on the younger with his right hand, he knew exactly what he was doing because he was following a mandate that God had given him. And the younger son was going to receive the double portion, but it did not exclude the older son from being blessed.
Right, right.
Okay.
And so the blessing was given to Ephraim.
Okay.
And not Manasseh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What did we say? We said it. We said it the other way.
Uh-huh. I think we said it. I think I said it backwards.
Okay.
Okay.
So you said, what is it then? I'm confused. Help me.
The right hand was on Ephraim.
Ephraim was
the youngest.
Okay.
Manasseh was the oldest.
All right.
The eldest.
Okay.
Yes.
And so his son Joseph was expecting Manasseh to receive the blessing and tried to switch his dad's hand.
Right.
But his dad was saying, no, I know what I'm doing, even though I can't see that well. I got a clear sense of what God has told me to do.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And so that leads us into the 49th chapter, right?
That's correct.
Because he wanted to reestablish a relationship with Joseph's sons that were not born in the promised land.
Right.
And make sure that they would be a part of the inheritance. That this is still the same process that what God spoke to Abraham is still going through the lineage. And it's flowing now from Joseph to his sons, well, Jacob, Joseph, down to his sons. And now we see Joseph getting ready to bless all of his sons. Is it Joseph? Jacob.
Jacob blesses all of his sons.
That's a lot of J's, but we're going to get it right. Jacob is blessing all of his sons.
His tribe, and
the tribe. And that's where the 12 tribes they're really active and alive in this 49th chapter as he begins to speak these blessings. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So give us just a little intro to what's happening and how that unfolds here in this 49th chapter.
Well, Genesis 49 details the blessings and predictions that Jacob gives each of his sons.
Okay.
Reuben, lost his inheritance because he lay with his father's mistress.
Okay.
Levi and Simon or Simeon were hateful and unforgiving, separating them from each since they had killed a man.
Wow.
Judah, like a lion, was promised praise and dominion over the tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Zebulun received the sea and its trade, and was a great port stretching to Zidon. Issachar, strong like a donkey, would be the servant to the other tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Dan was compared to a snake on a path, attacking riders as they passed out, and would be a judge to the other tribes. Gad would become warriors, attacked, but would overcome. Asher, rewarded with best grain in the land, will become rich royalty, would come from his lineage.
Okay.
Naphtali, like a deer, would use beautiful words. The oldest son by Rachel, he tells them that they will become a great nation, and they will become the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
The youngest son compared to his prophetess, to his sons, were not his own, but were shown to him by God. Jacob gave each of his sons their blessings and told them to transport his body to the burial place of his ancestors after his death. He told them that this place was in Canaan, in the field of Machpelah, where Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and Leah were buried, on an area of land purchased from Ephron the Hittite. Following his instructions, Jacob laid down on his bed, and he died.
Okay. Now, there's a lot in that particular recap, Lady Kim, and it covers this 49th chapter, but we see that this is really an announcement of Jacob's blessings, and he's speaking a tough word to his sons, and really opening up and sharing with them what many might perceive not to be a blessing, but in a real sense, a curse.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see here is that Jacob doesn't bear any, he doesn't bear any words in terms of sharing the truth with them and letting them know what he knows. And sometimes perhaps they may have thought that he was not aware of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And little did they know that this would be a part of what would be their lot for the rest of their lives, or the blessing that their father would speak upon them.
Right. And I think it's important to look at it a little bit, read a little bit of it, because that would give us a little more clarity on that. It says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days."
Okay.
So this is the blessing that he's pronouncing upon them.
Okay, and that's okay. We're in Genesis 49, and we're starting at verse number 1. It's almost like a final will and testimony, if you want to try to make it live for us and get a clear sense of understanding. This was not something that they found out after Jacob had passed, but he lets them know before he passes about what they were going to inherit and what their lot would be.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, he just goes down the lineage. I gave a short recap or summary of it, but he goes down the line, and we see that this is where when people talk about or refer to the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, Israel's Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
That's right.
So when we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, we're talking about the 12 sons of Jacob.
Right.
Okay? And so it says, and then he starts with Does it start with the oldest and go to the youngest, or start with the youngest and go to the oldest?
He goes to the firstborn.
Okay, and he talks about Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, he goes to the oldest.
Right.
He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Okay, so he starts with the oldest. He said, my might and the beginning of my strength. Every father loves that firstborn son, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he? Because
mm-hmm.
that's their pride and joy.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I got a son.
Right.
I got me a baby boy. So he says, you are my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of my dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water. Now he's talking about, you know, every daddy, every parent knows their child.
They know.
Right?
They know.
He says, Reuben, you are unstable as water, and you will not excel because you went up to thy father's bed and defiled it. And he went up to my couch. So Reuben did something despicable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
mm-hmm.
slept with one of his father's wives. And so he said that he will not excel because of that. Wow, that's tough, isn't it?
It is. That's tough love. That's a tough word for him to receive from his dad, who was feeble and ready to die. And he wanted to make sure that he called all of his sons in so that they would understand the blessing that was going to go before them after he had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not long after he pronounced the blessings that he did pass, and they followed his last wishes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now he pronounces something on Simeon and Levi.
Okay.
Their brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. So they were wicked. You know, they did some evil things. And so he says, oh, my soul, come now, come not thou into their secret, into their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. So he's, you know, kind of pronouncing a curse on them too.
That's right.
Because
That's
they
right.
were murderers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He says, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel.
So even though there was some corruption and some things that were not pleasant or going on, it still did not negate the fact that he blessed them as well.
He blessed them, and then they still had children.
That's right.
And their seed was still multiplied upon the earth.
Right. And they all had their own area
mm-hmm.
in which they were placed in to do what they would. But the blessing could have been even greater had they not went astray and did something that was not pleasing to God as well as to their father.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know which son, the name I like the most.
Which one?
Judah.
Judah.
Judah means what?
Bye-bye. Hey.
Judah means praise, you know. And they sent, every time they went into war, they would send Judah. The tribe of Judah would go first.
Go before.
It would go first.
The Bible says we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
With praise,
and so yes. Let everything that hath breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And so Judah was that tribe that really kind of got everything in place for worship as well as for battle.
Mm-hmm.
And when they would even go into battle, Lady Kim, they would send Judah ahead of them to prepare the way. And sometimes, there's a word there to be said that many times we praise after we come out of what we're going through. Mm-hmm. But it's important for you to praise your way out. You can praise your way out of your situation. You don't have to be cold in a cold situation. You don't have to be lukewarm, but you can be alive and on fire if you dare to praise God even before it manifests in your life.
Amen.
All right,
amen.
I felt something right there.
All
hey,
right,
hey,
yeah.
Judah, you need to name, somebody needs to name their child Judah.
Judah.
Yeah, but they got to be serious about the meaning
behind it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All right. Any comments there? Everybody all right?
I don't see any comments. Okay. It says, Judah, This is verse number 7.
Okay.
Of the 49th chapter. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children will bow down before thee. Judah is a lion whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes.
Until Shiloh comes.
And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garment in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. So that's Judah.
Judah.
His blessing that was pronounced upon him.
He spent some time talking to Judah, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. That gives you also a clear indication of the importance and the significance of that praise factor. And little did they perhaps know that that would be extended even to us today.
Amen.
Yeah, how important it is to praise. Isn't that right?
It's important to praise, absolutely. Absolutely. When praises go up,
they'll do it, Reverend.
Blessings come down.
What happens?
Yes, blessings come down.
All right, now.
God's blessings come down.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that even as we're going through this 49th chapter and just reviewing these blessings, and many, in a real sense, some were curses. But it's important for us to realize that even with every blessing, there's bound to be an attack of the enemy. And we, even though God blesses us, we can't just sit back in splendor isolation and be satisfied with that, but we have to work our gift. We have to practice. We have to stay focused. We have to be intentional. We have to use our gifts to the glory of God. We can't rest on our blessed assurance and sit on our assets.
Did I say assets?
Okay.
All right. Watch out.
All right. But we have to stay focused in terms of what God gives us. We can't just say, look what I have. Because, see, the enemy is going to always be busy. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the enemy wants to steal everything that God wants to give, or that Jesus wants to give. The enemy is after your joy. He's after your peace. He's after your gifts. He's after your inheritance. So we got to make sure that we guard ourselves and stay focused and be intentional about using our gifts to the glory of God.
Amen. And you know, as I look at the tribes and what blessing was pronounced, it's a time to do some self-reflection.
That's right.
Of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you living your life?
Wow.
What are you doing? You know, if you were standing at the gates in heaven, and Jesus was to pronounce, and God was to pronounce blessings for you, what kind of pronouncement would he pronounce over your life?
Wow, that's deep. That's something to think about.
Yeah. And so the next one, the 12th verse is Zebulun.
Mm-hmm.
And said, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven for ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. So he has a coastal effect. You know, people will come, and ships will come into the ports in Zidon, and Zebulun will trade with people. So he's going to be wealthy. He's going to be a trader.
So he had a coastal anointing.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes. In verse 13, it's Issachar, as strong as an ass, crouching down between two burdens. And he saw that the rest was good, and that the land was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribes.
Okay.
Verse 15, it talks about Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. And Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backwards. And I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. So that was Dan, the tribe of Dan.
Okay.
Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, and he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose, and he giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches runneth over the wall. So he even goes all the way down to his son Joseph.
That's right. That's right.
And we know that Joseph was a fruitful bough.
Absolutely.
Because he became, he was able to become the second in command. In Pharaoh's house.
Okay. All right. Well, this is really kicking us right on through, Lady Kim, and it's exciting to see how even the pronouncement of these blessings carried with it a weight. You know, each blessing carries a weight and a responsibility. And so we have to be mindful of that. When the Lord blesses us, we have a responsibility to carry the weight. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So when God gives you a thing, he's going to make sure that it manifests itself for you to be able to fully access the blessing that he has for you.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right.
You know, after Jacob pronounces his blessings or gives the foretells the future to his sons. It says in the 33rd verse that when Jacob had made an end of his commanding of his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So after he pronounced his blessings, he laid down, put his feet in the bed, laid down, and went on home to be with the Lord.
That's something. Didn't say he suffered. Didn't say he had, and he was ripe old age, and had a chance to see all of his sons, had the chance to see his youngest son, who was his favorite, and all of them were there. And he was satisfied in a real sense that he could speak to them like he did, and then move on to be with God. Okay, so what's the lesson here in this 49th chapter that we can take?
Well,
something,
you know,
that we can hold on to.
It's another new beginning, you know, moving to another, one chapter ending and moving it to a new chapter, to a new beginning.
Okay.
You know, it talks about the death of Jacob. It talked about kindness. You know, we know about the kindness of Joseph, the kindness of Jacob. And then reassurance, what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. That's good. Well, this is a very powerful chapter, and I think it illustrates to us how important it is for us to make sure that we set aside something that we're going to leave as an inheritance for those who are coming behind us, particularly our family and our kids, and even if you have surrogates, or even in your own church, you know. It's important that you allow your legacy to continue to live in those who are left behind. And one of the things that I think most people do, and we talked a little bit about it last week, is that they wait until they think it's time for them to start getting the house in order. But tomorrow is not promised. We need to make sure, particularly as people, that we have our business in order, our house in order, that we have made a will, that we have made sure that we haven't spent all of our money frivolously on ourselves, and that we have thought about others and tried to make provisions for our legacy to continue to live even after we're gone.
Amen.
Okay. I think we ought to stop here, Lady Kim. It's about 6:40, and then maybe talk a little bit about the upcoming weekend, because this is a very special weekend for us, and then lift up any prayer concerns that we might have. And then on next week, we're going to close out with chapter 50 and do a little recap of some of the very powerful pieces of Genesis that really kind of stuck out and that really caught our attention as we were moving through this study. I tell you, this has been an excellent study. And I think that, as we said last week and as we said throughout this study, when you get a clear understanding of what happens in Genesis, it really opens up the other portions of the Bible for you to see how the promise continues to go forward, how God continues to be faithful in his word, and how he forgives, and how he continues to restore, and how even though people they go through that same cycle of starting out doing good at one hand, and then on the other hand they turn around and they end up messing up, but God continues to extend his grace time and time again and his forgiveness toward us. And so I think this happens, this is a clear indication in this whole book of Genesis of a forgiving, merciful, kind, and loving God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other closing words you want to say as it relates to that 49th chapter?
No.
Nope. That'll work. All right. No.
No, not that I can think of.
Okay.
Just that, like you said, you know, we have to prepare, because as surely as we're born into this world, one day we're going to have to leave. And I think we don't like to think about death,
mm-hmm.
or the finality of death, but we need to make sure that we prepare for the hereafter. We're so busy trying to take care of right now. You know, we're so busy trying to take care of, you know, what we think we're going to do next week or next month or next year. But God,
tomorrow.
God has never promised us, you know, to go on. We don't know when we're going to leave this
earth.
And so we need to prepare, like you said, for our hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we can prepare for our hereafter is by having our relationship with Christ solidified. You know, a lot of people don't even think about hereafter. You know, they think, okay, I'm gonna live my life like it's golden. You know, I'm gonna live it up for right now. But prepare your hearts and prepare your souls for the hereafter.
Okay, that's good. That's a good word. Okay, so what are we anticipating and expecting this coming weekend, Lady Kim? Tell us a little bit about what to, for those who are on the call and those who will hear this virtual Bible study later, what we can expect as we prepare to go back for in-person worship.
Well, of course, we're coming back on this Sunday, May the 30th. In order to come back, we ask that you register online. You can find that on our website, as well as the link has gone out via email, and we'll be on constant contact. So you only need to register once. Do not register more than once. Register one time and you'll be all set. Why do you have to register? For a couple of reasons. One, we need to know how many people to expect on Sunday, because we have limited capacity. All right, we're at 50% capacity right now. So we need to know, and then that's within the sanctuary. We will have some overflow spaces, a couple of overflow spaces that we will prepare. One will be in the fellowship hall. The other will be in the conference room that you can view by TV if our sanctuary becomes full. But we need to know how many pods, sections we need to prepare for. So we have sections for two people, section for one person, section for three people, section for four. So if you and your family are coming and there are four in your party, please be directed or please migrate to a pod that has four chairs. Please, if there are two in your party, don't go and sit in a section that has four chairs. Sit in a section that just has two chairs if there are only two people in your party. So we want families to be seated together. We want individuals, if you by yourself, to sit by yourself. You won't be far away from everybody. You'll just be 6 feet from the next pod. So sit in pods according to how many people are in your party, okay? And then we want you to register also, not only so that we can know how many people to expect, but we want to see how many people will be returning, who's going to be returning. And we hope that those of you who are returning have had your vaccination, at least one vaccination. We're asking that you wear your mask while you're in the sanctuary. We're still taking precautions, even though I heard on the news this evening that the COVID cases and COVID deaths have plummeted to an all-time low, mm-hmm. lower than they were last time, this June last year. You know, the numbers were up last year around this time, but the numbers are down significantly, deaths are down significantly, and it's all due to people having the COVID vaccination, following the precautions, being masked up, social distancing, and also washing their hands. So we ask that you stay masked up while we're in service, and social distance.
Okay, and they can drop their offering, their tithes and offerings in the box before they come into the sanctuary, or even if they're preparing on their way in, they can do it once they get there. There's a box at both of the entrances as well as in the sanctuary, and you'll be able to pick up your communion before you enter into the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
That's right. Okay. Please don't forget to do those two things. Now, you can also still worship online, okay? So if you don't choose to come back, that's okay. Worship online. And don't forget to, you can give online.
Right.
Your tithes and offerings can still be submitted online. And that's the way we hope many of you will do so. But if you choose to do the paper check or put money in an envelope, like Pastor said, if you come on through the Riverdale Road doors, the front doors of the church, look to the left and there's a secure box to the left. If you enter from the parking lot side, the Birch Run side, or the back parking lot side, when you come in, the offering box will be, a secure box will be on your right. If you forget to do it when you come in, there's one more box in the back of the sanctuary, on the doors where the ushers stand at the two double doors, in between the two double doors in the back of the sanctuary, there's another secure box that you can put your offering in. So we have three secure places that you can put your offering. If you want to drop it off during the week, as you many people have been doing, drop it off during the week in the secure mailbox that's out by the basketball goal. But we will continue to worship online for those who do not feel comfortable coming back yet. We will have in-person worship. The doors open at 9:15. 9:15 a.m. You may enter the sanctuary, or you may enter the church. You will have to wear a mask. We ask that you social distance. Your temperature will be checked, and you will receive a little identification sticker so that people will know that your temperature has been checked. And sit according to how many people are in your party. If there's four in the party, sit in the seats with four. If there's two in the party, sit in the seats with two, and so forth and so on.
Okay. That's good. So we're excited about seeing most of you this Sunday. We had a good representation of our leadership this past Sunday as they are preparing now for your return. And so we look forward to when we come together this Sunday, and then as the CDC lift their restrictions, then we will follow protocol, and it might even go up to 75% capacity before long. But we want to continue to make sure that everything is in place as it relates to what we need to do to follow the necessary precautions as we move forward.
Amen. There was a question. Somebody just texted and wanted to know, are we having Bible study next Monday? Yes, we will have Bible study.
Right.
Pastor stated that when we first came on. But we will have Bible study on next Monday. We're just going to tackle the last chapter, chapter 50. We stopped a little short today just so we can go over all of the information for worship on this coming Sunday. We are so excited that we will be able to return for in-person worship. So thank you so very, very much for your consistency. Thank you for your consistency in giving, your consistency in online worship, your consistency in online Bible study, your consistency in midweek prayer, conference call Bible study and prayer, your consistency on Tuesdays with the inspirations in the morning. Atop, you have shown out during this 15 months.
It's been 15 months?
15 months.
What?
Of COVID-19.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So thank you. You can see if you would like to donate or give online right there on your screen. You can do that now. Again, we will have worship service via Facebook Live on Sunday as well as live stream.
That's right.
So join us on Sunday. The service will begin at 9:45, but if you're coming in person, you can come at as early as 9:15, find your spot, you know, get your temperature checked, but don't forget to register online. Don't forget. And we still have our online Bibles, online Sunday school.
That's right.
Sunday school begins at 8:30 a.m. for our adults, 9 o'clock to 9:30 a.m. for our middle and high school students. Get those kids out of bed and get them online. Don't forget about our virtual escape room that's going to take place on June the 12th also. $10 and the three people on the screen. It's like going to the real escape room in person, but we're doing it virtually. So adults, you can participate too with your young people. So three people to the screen. All right. Good. If you would like to attend worship service, visit our website. It's right there on your screen, www.anointedtemple.org. You can go there to register.
Register now.
Via the link that is sent to your email or via Constant Contact that will go out later on this week, several times during the week. So register online. Don't forget to put the number of people that will be attending with you.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Do we have any updates on our sick and shut-in, Lady Kim, or bereavements as we prepare to close out tonight?
Yes, we do. Please add, he was already on, but Brother Larry Shotwell has been admitted back to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So let's lift up Brother Larry Shotwell, Minister Shotwell's husband, in a powerful and a mighty way. And let's also lift up Sister Daphne Robinson in the loss of her father, Freddie Fitzgerald. That memorial service will be later on in the month. in Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So lift up Sister Daphne. I was going to say give her a big hug when you see her, but you can't do that. Give her a fist bump or a wave and express your condolences to her when you see her on Sunday. And I want to thank the young people for showing up and showing out on Sunday. They did a marvelous job. Our ushers, spiritual officers, and ministers were there on Sunday just getting their marching orders. Our health ministry was there in full force, assisting with the temperature checks and getting things in order. So thank you so much to our media and communications ministry for the awesome job you've been doing. For the A-Top band, who's always outstanding. They sound wonderful online, but they are slamming up. They are getting down in person. So you all are really going to enjoy it. There's a whole different atmosphere in person than it is online, and we're just so thankful. And we want to thank Sister Erin Jethro, who also ministers to our deaf and hard of hearing or hearing impaired audience. She does such an awesome job. We appreciate her so much. And for her awesome husband who takes all the photographs that you see online and in our dispatch.
All right. Mighty good. Thank you so very much, Lady Kim, for all of those reminders. And we're excited and we're looking forward to seeing many of you this Sunday. And we hope and pray that things will go well as we celebrate and continue to bless the Lord for sustaining us in this season.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Will you close us out then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer, please?
Sure. God, we're thankful today for you allowing us this opportunity to glean your word, oh God, and to get nuggets from your word that we can use to make our lives better. We ask, oh God, that your blessings be upon the sick among us. Bless Brother Larry Shotwell in a special way.
Do it, Lord.
Bless Sister Daphne in the loss of her father, God. Give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. We thank you for a life well lived, and we know that her father rests in your loving arms. We thank you for each person, each volunteer that's connected with Anointed Temple of Praise. We thank you for their gifts, their willingness to serve, oh God. We thank you for ATOP sustaining us as a church during the pandemic. And we ask that you would continue to allow your people to be a blessing to this church and to our ministry. We love you. We thank you for all those who have continued to log on virtually for all our services, Bible studies and Sunday schools and everything else, oh God. We just thank you so much.
Thank you, God.
We bless you and we honor you and we give you praise, honor, and glory for continuing, oh God, to sustain us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, for closing us out tonight. And we look forward to seeing many of you this Sunday. And by all means, we hope you enjoy yourselves for the rest of the evening. And Lady Kim, are you excited about the Grizzlies and how they're playing?
Yes, yes. Go Grizz. Go Grizz. The Grizzlies showed out.
They showed out last weekend.
Look, I stayed up until that game was over.
Yeah,
some other Laker fans went to bed, you know, but I stayed up to root and cheer my Grizzlies.
Wouldn't it be nice if the Grizzlies and the Lakers finally met in the playoffs? That would be wonderful.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
All right. Well, y'all be blessed, and we hope that we'll see many of you Sunday, and we look forward to continuing to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Until next time.
Love you guys.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.